comic book fans, come out April 12, 2014 for the Tidewater Comic Con, Virginia's newest comic book convention located at the Crown Plaza on Bonnie Road in Virginia Beach. We've got trivia games, coloring contests, hourly door prizes, live comedy by The Pushers and Geek Night Comedy, and a $1,000 costume contest sponsored by Geektography. It's a free all-ages comic book convention with over 100 vendors, artists, comic creators, cosplayers, and our very special guest, Ethan Van Sciver. So save the date and tell all your friends not to miss the incredible, uncanny, amazing Tidewater Comic Con. For more information, please visit us at TidewaterComicCon.com or Facebook.com/TidewaterComicCon.
Tidewater Comic Con! Tidewater Comic Con! Tidewater Comic Con! Tidewater Comic Con!
Hello, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're Playing Doctor. Playing Doctor is our not-so-weekly Doctor Who podcast that gives us a chance to talk about the new Doctor Who series on the BBC.
But you say new?
Yeah. New in 2005. Wibbly wobbly, okay.
I was going to say, what year is this?
Well, the way these episodes come out, it could be 2005.
No.
We recorded this episode live January 15th, 2005.
And then it went back in time to 1963.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Got it. That's how the whole show started. It's a causality loop. So this week we're talking about second season still.
Yes.
The Idiot's Lantern, which is one of my favorite episodes from
second season.
Yes.
Is it?
I like it. But it's 1953, and 1953 is my favorite year of all time.
This is your actual favorite.
This is my honest to goodness.
Who the hell has a favorite year?
Me.
Okay.
And joining us to talk about the Idiot's Lantern is Sean Devereaux.
And, hi, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. And tell us a little about yourself.
My name is Sean Devereaux. I am a sketch comedian with the Pushers Sketch and Improv Comedy Group. We've been together about 9 years, actually coming up 9 years in April.
Wow.
And we teach classes in sketch writing and improv over at the Muse Writer Center in West Ghent. And in June, we'll be opening our own theater in the Norfolk Arts District.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be awesome.
And you guys are currently doing a Kickstarter.
Yes, we are doing a Kickstarter to raise money for the theater. We have an investor who has helped us out, but that's only gotten us so far. And
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, we're hoping the Kickstarter gets us the rest of the way.
Right.
We'll be sure to link to that in the show notes
absolutely.
This week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a 90-seat theater in the new Norfolk Arts District. We're going to teach classes during the week, and then on the weekend have all sorts of comedy shows.
All comedy.
All
nice.
Comedy all the time.
Nice.
That's awesome. And the area really needs that, I think.
Yeah. It's. I didn't go to the Better Block thing, but I guess it's part of that. You know, I guess it started to revitalize that whole area of Granby mm-hmm. Street. So people outside of this area probably would be like, what are you talking about? I don't know.
But yeah, because we're talking about Norfolk, Virginia, not Norfolk, Connecticut. Or
Norfolk, England.
England.
Yes.
Which would be appropriate for this show.
But this is an American show.
Now,
God damn it.
You know, we were talking a little bit... we were talking a little bit before the show about your Doctor Who experience.
Yes.
And how far back you've been watching. And I think you and I... pretty much started watching around the same time, back in the Baker era on PBS.
Yes, on PBS. And so for me, I definitely would say it was in the late 1970s, because I actually remember my mom, I guess she actually found it first, came to me as like, hey, you like Star Wars and you'll like this, and sat me down in front of the TV. And I will admit that I was... a little less than impressed when I was a kid. At the time, it didn't hold a candle to Star Wars.
Right.
So, although I watched a lot of the Baker stuff, you know, I wasn't, didn't religiously watch it. And then I kind of knew about it just as a general kind of like, you know, science fiction fan.
Right.
But it really wasn't until the new series that I got back into Doctor Who. And then once the new series came back, I just went whole hog. You know, I've gone back and watched almost the entire classic series.
Wow.
Or at least all of it that's available to
us. Yeah, all of it that's available. I am like one of those people that are thinking that any day now they're just going to start releasing more and more. That what is the guy, Phil Morris? Is that the guy that found, he went to Africa and found Enemy of the World? And So I've gone whole hog, like, you know, gotten like the Doctor Who magazine comic books, gotten like a bunch of the Target novels from like the 70s.
Oh, wow. So you're just consuming everything Doctor Who.
I really have, yeah. I'm an all or nothing type of guy. If I'm going to be really into something, I'm going to really, really be into it.
Gotcha. I haven't got into any of the audio dramas, the books. You know, I've got a couple of comic books, basically, and that's about it. And I haven't even barely scratched the surface of the old stuff yet.
Well, see, when I'm thinking about this, though, I came to Doctor Who from a Star Trek background.
Mm-hmm.
So, one, my special effects history, not quite as impressive as
exactly.
The Star
Wars.
Yeah,
your expectations were not as high as mine.
So it was a little bit easier to adapt to the BBC's special effect budget after NBC was cutting Star Trek every month, it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things for me, though, as a Star Trek fan, we're really big on canon. You know, what's the official continuity? And the rule for most of the Star Trek fans that I've always hung out with has always been, if it's not on screen, it never happened.
Right.
Where I think Star Wars fans have a more open mind on this, and you're more open to what I've always heard referred to as the expanded universe.
Yes, yeah. I, for a while there, got really big into the Star Wars expanded universe and then kind of fell out of it. And I guess I replaced it with Doctor Who,
right?
And its expanded universe.
And I was wondering if maybe that's why I have stayed away from Doctor Who's expanded universe so much, just because of my experiences with Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming from that mindset that, oh yeah, if, you know, it's licensed, go for it.
Yeah, I would say that I'm a very big comic book fan as well, and. When I was younger, I was very kind of beholden to continuity and stuff.
Right.
I'm a DC Comics guy, but after going through like Crisis on Infinite Earth and Zero Hour and then all that stuff, after a while, I just, you know, if it's a good story, it's a good story. That's all I, you know, really care about, which is kind of why, you know, what I like about the Doctor Who stuff. Like, there's really a lot of good, especially the Big Finish stuff, because, you know, they've gotten a lot of the writers from the classic series to come in and do stuff. Although now, thanks to Stephen Moffat, it looks like all the Big Finish stuff is canon.
Canon
because
now.
Because of the little Eighth Doctor web video he put out.
Yeah, I could almost hear some of our friends shrieking, you know,
I was
thousands of miles away.
I was actually at my day job when I saw it for the first time. And the fact that it was the Eighth Doctor, because again, I don't know who I was, because I do try to avoid spoilers at all costs. So I just thought it was going to be like, you know, a new little Matt Smith video leading up to the anniversary special. But yeah, when I saw when I saw Paul McGann, you know, I lost it. And then when he started naming his companions from the Big Finish series, I was like, oh boy. And then I immediately went online to see the internet freaking out that Big Finish was now part of Doctor Who.
Oh, as soon as I heard his voice,
I
lost it. It was like, oh my God, this is just got extremely exciting.
I have a friend at work who is also a big fan, but he is strictly the new series. I've actually tried to give him some of my DVDs of the old series, like, you know, Genesis of the Daleks and stuff like that. But he's like, no, can't do it. He's all about the new series. So he was actually watching it with me, and, you know, I start freaking out. He's like, you don't understand how amazing this is. He's like,
Some people just can't get past the kind of dodgy special effects in the original. You know, and it's, nowadays the newer episodes are real, like, finished and real action-packed, and they're very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the classic episodes, it's like, you know, it'll be like 2.5 hours easily.
Well, we've got to take and fill 4 25-minute segments.
Right. Or even worse, the six parters, even like Pertwee's first season with the seven parters. I was like, oh boy.
Just
I'm a
finish.
Fan, but it's tough.
Well, see, for me watching it on PBS when I was a kid, they would put all of those 25-minute episodes together.
Oh, like the big omnibus.
Into one episode. So the story would run. But the problem with that was Saturday night was the night that I could stay up late because Saturday Night Live came on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Doctor Who came on at 9, and if you ran into a six-parter, that meant I was going to miss the first half
of SNL. Saturday,
yeah. And it's like, no, this is not good. And of course, this was back in the days before TVR, you know, and we weren't rich folks. We didn't have a VCR, so this was a conundrum.
Yeah, it was.
And there's no commercials on PBS, so it's not like I could switch back and forth.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is painful. No
nerd rage. No.
Well, speaking of old televisions.
And tape.
And
nice,
tape.
Nice segue.
Yeah, see, huh? Yeah. See how I had to bring it around. Bring it around.
Good job.
But this week's episode, again, 1953.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on in 1953? In England, specifically.
Oh, in England. Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, that's the year that Ben Hogan won the golf.
Don't try to steal. Oh, the golf thing. No, that was the year that Ben Hogan won the Triple Crown, if you want to go for that.
The British Open,
the Masters, and the U.S.
I was
Open.
only listening to half of what you told me the other day about
the Ben golf Hogan. Thing.
The golf thing, yeah. So, yes, this is the year that Queen Elizabeth was crowned as Queen
Elizabeth. You know, maybe that was important.
Kind of a big thing
I think
in
they
England.
Were more excited about Ben Hogan winning the British Open that year.
Maybe.
Maybe they had something, you know, they were a little excited about the Queen, but I don't know. That was also a big deal, some gold cherry.
So after they took down all the Union flags from their house, then they put up big pictures of Ben Hogan.
Well, that's what I did.
I know you did.
Historical bins.
Anyway, so. Yeah.
This is the Stone Age of television. And people were buying televisions just to see the coronation.
And it was great how they would pull these giant TVs that are like the size of my entertainment center over there with a little postage stamp of a TV and say, oh, it's so lifelike. It's like they're right there in the room with you.
Yeah, you've got these, what, maybe 15-inch screens on a console.
And they were what? They were watching Howdy Doody? Was that what was?
I think the British equivalent.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a puppet.
Yes.
Yes.
Puppets were involved.
It's like they're right in the room with you.
So the Doctor and Rose are trying to go to 1953, but they're trying to go see an Elvis show.
In Vegas or New York.
I think it was New York.
Yeah.
Because she was wanting to go to Vegas and do the whole...
Was Elvis around in 53?
I think so. You know, I didn't do my research on this, and I don't know.
That's a good question.
For some reason, 53...
That seems kind of early.
Yeah, it seems very early for Elvis.
But the Beatles... Well, no, I actually, no. Because Sinatra was big in the 40s.
Yeah.
Elvis was big in the 50s. Beatles were in the 60s.
Right.
So that follows. And then Elvis got really big in the 70s, but that wasn't like popularity so much as, you know, waistline.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely knew he was 50s, but for some reason I thought it was like 56, 57.
I wonder if it was maybe an early show.
Maybe. Or now were they specifically trying to hit 1953?
I was just wondering.
Or they were just going to...
Because later in the episode when he's talking to the kid and gives him the Vespa... He tells him to leave it in the garage for a couple of years, and so maybe they were a little
early. Yeah, so maybe they were trying.
Right. They were trying to get to like 1958 or something like that, and they just, of course, missed.
The TARDIS goes where she needs to go.
Yeah, she was wearing like a poodle skirt and stuff like that.
Right,
right. That seemed again a little bit too early for 1953.
So yeah. I'm glad everyone on the show could correct me instead of having Kirby correct me this time.
We have a listener who we love, and anytime we get something wrong, he's right there on Facebook to help us out. So we look forward to his comments on this one, because this time he'll be going after you and not me.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm a little frazzled today because of the whole computer thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I think my computer got fried by the
sparks
wire.
Sparks coming out as the wire tried to invade your computer.
All of a sudden, I saw this face up on the screen saying, "Hungry!"
No, that was me. I was Skyping you.
Oh.
You missed dinner time, and I don't like to do that.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I ate your fries.
Don't do that. So with The Wire, though, which that was kind of, you know, magic lightning hits the, just happens to hit the only TV repair shop in North London.
Mm-hmm.
That was very convenient. And she now possesses the television, takes the form of a late night
talk show host, yeah. Which I guess, yeah, if we were English, that would have meant
should
more
we
to
know
us.
This?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think she, I think she may have been based on someone, but I don't think she was meant to exactly be someone. Mm-hmm. But the actress who did it really had that 1950s look to her, though. I think
they did. I would say
very
that
good job
it
of that.
Looked very 1950s.
And I like, though, that later in the episode when she's talking to the doctor. And he's confronting her. You know, it's the doctor, the detective inspector, and the kid. She's, you know, starting to, you know, have her little rant moment, and it goes into color.
And yeah, so everybody freaks out that
it's color.
Oh my God, color TV! That's
DI is just like color
not
television.
The fact that their faces are getting sucked off by a television,
and not that the television is talking to them. All of this is in the realm of reality for him.
Mm-hmm.
But color television, that's what pushed it over the top for him, is like, color television? I mean, HD, I mean, luckily this man was older, so he didn't make it to the modern era. Otherwise,
yeah,
HD television.
He would have had a heart attack.
Right.
He's gone.
Yeah. So, but I did find it kind of weird that The Wire, okay, so they explain that this entity, whatever it is, mm-hmm. was a criminal of some sort, executed by his own people, sent across the stars.
Okay.
Of all the times and places, it happened to show up right before the coronation.
At the dawn of the television age.
Right. So I kind of wondered if it's traveling in time and space, like if it chose that specific time.
Or if it was just coincidence that it was the dawn of the television age.
Right. Because that seems very, very coincidental. Because it, you know, it could get into the TVs and suck people's faces off. It already knew how to do this. It had the capability.
I would have to lean towards coincidence because, mm-hmm. again, if they landed, I would say, how many people had TVs in England in 1953?
Right.
Like, if it landed in today, it would have been able to conquer the world.
Boom.
Like that. Yeah.
Done.
Like, why wouldn't it choose, you know, the moon landing or the biggest Super Bowl viewing of all time? Because it seems like it would
or
automatically
the finale
get...
of Survivor. Yeah.
You know, the MASH finale.
Exactly.
You know, something big.
I like how you guys went like MASH and Super Bowl and the moon landing, and I went Survivor.
It could be the last episode of Seinfeld. But no, it's just for me. I think it was there was no time travel involved. I think it was just coincidental.
Yeah,
it just happened to. Otherwise, this thing would have died. It just luckily found Earth at the dawn of TV,
mm-hmm.
and was able to adapt to that.
Or maybe it could have just like I don't know circled around for. Couple dozen years or something.
I don't, you know, well, it may really... have been looking. I mean, you know, that could have been another thing. And Earth finally caught up enough that, oh, technology's here for me to make use of it. I'm almost dead. Made it.
Gotcha.
You know, so that, you know, there may have been time travel like we're time traveling 1 second at a time into the future, but.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. But no. Little disappointed that The Wire had nothing to do. This is twice now that this has happened to me. Nothing to do with Baltimore, and nothing to do with drug dealers or street crime in any way.
I think
that would have been very meta if it showed up in Baltimore.
Well, no, and there's an episode of Deep Space Nine mm-hmm. that's titled The Wire. So I was asked to be on another podcast over at Trek FM with our friends on the Ready Room, plugging the hell out of it. Brought to you by called The Wire. Again, no Baltimore, no criminals. So, and now here again, Doctor Who is... Star Trek played with my emotions. Now Doctor Who is playing with my emotions.
But I think either one of these situations is safer than Baltimore, than actually being on The Wire.
Yes, having your face sucked off by an alien energy being during the coronation in 1953, safer than modern-day Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean,
this episode brought to you by the Baltimore Chamber of Commerce.
I've been shot at in Baltimore. The only city I've gone to war zones and not been as afraid for my life as I have been in Baltimore.
And didn't get your face sucked off.
And did not have my face sucked off. I would have rather that have happened.
You just didn't go to the right part of town, I think is what it is.
Okay. Well, see, I was on the south side of town and on the south side of the harbor, and that was a little terrifying.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry to hear about that. Yeah. Anyway, back in England.
Jolly old.
So the wire starts screaming at Mr. Magpie. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. Feed me.
Feed me, Seymour.
That's all I could think was, feed me, Seymour. And it was, you know, the more I thought about it, it is kind of a similar thing. Like, he would kind of get a couple people here and a couple people there, and it just the hunger kept growing, and it was
and
very much
like really young,
Shop of Horrors.
Really young Steve Martin and Jack Nicholson showed up.
Yes.
And they had a little part there. And
they break out into song.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, even though I'm not a big fan of musicals, but, you know.
Rick Moranis not involved in this one? This is the classic.
No, he was there. You didn't see him?
No.
No.
Maybe he had shrunken. No?
No.
Okay.
You're just taking it too far now.
Okay. But yeah, she was hungry, and of course, she feeds on TV watchers.
Yes.
Which, grandma being grandma, had predicted this.
Yeah.
I hear
TV watch brains.
Yeah, it just oozes right out. Well, okay, you missed that part. It gets sucked right out through your face, and...
I didn't really get the correlation of why they needed to have their faces taken off in order for it to feed. She was feeding on the brainwave energy.
Right.
And how does that relate to the face?
Maybe the essence of who you are is in your face, and now that you're just an empty vessel, you have no face.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. I agree with Jenny. It was a bit awkward that it was...
Good point, but no.
No. Yeah, it was... it was almost like somebody, while they were writing the episode, had Twilight Zone, the movie, on.
Yeah.
Because wasn't there an episode in that where the people got
the
their
faceless
faces
people.
Sucked? Yeah, the faceless people, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there was
in the remake
of the kid Billy Mumy episode.
Yes.
From back in the old days.
Where he did that to his sister.
He would send you to the cornfield, or he would, you know, send you away or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he did that to his sister. And then there's the Star Trek episode with Charlie X, where the kid raised by aliens and he's got these godlike powers, and someone was laughing, and he thought they were laughing at him, so he takes away their face.
Hmm.
So this face removal thing apparently is a trope.
It's not new. Yeah.
Or an homage.
There you go. I think somebody just stole my face.
Yeah. You're looking at that screen a little too closely. And really, couldn't you just turn away?
Yeah,
Or turn... Well, I guess, that's the thing. Once it gets you, you're stuck.
Yeah.
Once your face starts getting sucked off, then you can't turn away. You're done.
You can't flip the switch or hit the remote?
They didn't have remotes, I'm pretty sure.
And I guess they couldn't unplug it either, because Rose seemed like she had a hard time trying to unplug
She's looking around at it, yeah. I mean, when they're at Asshole Dad's house, they, Rose gets a moment alone with the television, and she sees the magic lightning as that one's possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And this seemed limited to that neighborhood. So it was almost like, I mean, in networking terms, to, you know, nerd out, it was like she was localized on that one subnet.
Yeah.
And she needed to get out to the world.
Okay.
Feed on all of mankind during the coronation.
But that's why she had Magpie go up and attach the little doohickey box to the giant antenna.
Mm-hmm.
So that she could, I guess, receive from all over the world rather than just...
Well, all over England, I think. 20 million people watching in England.
Well, across the empire, too.
Right, right.
It seemed odd, though, that she waited till the last possible minute to send him up, like...
Shouldn't you have already went up
and had this
pre-staged?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, like he could have done that part while she's back at the shop sucking faces from people all over town.
Right.
And then it's already ready to go. So when people turn on their televisions, it's, you know, it's download time. Just pull them all in.
So the wire is a bit of a procrastinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's always hungry. So maybe that's the thing is, you know, she's busy eating. Hey, we're going to go do this antenna thing after lunch.
Yeah, after lunch.
Maybe he should have just gotten her a Snickers, you know? Not going anywhere for a while. Grab a Snickers. So we were talking about the Vespa.
Yes.
Now, how did you feel about that? Like, is it did it look kind of dorky for the doctor to be riding around that little thing? Like, especially after you've seen, I think the third doctor and the 11th doctor had a motorcycle. They both looked really cool on a motorcycle.
Well, as we were talking about before the show, third doctor is pretty much action hero here. So he's going to, you know.
Pertwee's my doctor, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, and he did have the motorcycle. I think it was in the Daemons?
I believe so,
yeah. He drove a motorcycle.
Because that was a problem, actually, during production, is he kept stealing the motorcycle.
Yeah,
to just go do stunts on his own, and the production team were like, stop, we have to get that back.
But I have to look like a badass. I don't have my badass quota yet.
We're not filming. Doesn't matter. I bet I can jump that ravine. John, please, stop.
Calm down.
If I jump that, you know, two more episodes this season, what do you think? What do you think? Huh? Come on. John, just stop. Insurance.
Damn it, I'm going to do some stunts.
Wait till I get the hovercraft.
Yeah, the Whomobile. That was... Somebody actually recovered that.
Really?
It was in a garage, and they thought that it was a boat. Some concept boat from the 60s. And so they hadn't thrown it away, but they were like, it's just a boat. The big fiberglass thing or whatever. Mm. And I think there was some kind of movement to try to raise money to restore it years ago, but I kind of lost tracking on that. But I don't think Jenny's ever seen the Whomobile.
No.
You've seen Betsy.
Yes.
And which, you know, everybody loves that car.
Exactly.
But
so is it just what is it exactly? Explain this to me.
Very futuristic. It looks like it needs to be flying.
Yeah. It looks like it could be a flying car.
I mean, is it like amphibious? Does it go underwater?
It's got like the swoop wing design.
Uh-huh.
It was almost what it made me think of when I initially saw it was the flying sub from Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
The old Irwin Allen series.
Yeah.
I kind of got that feel off of it with the lines that it had.
Yeah, or something like the Thunderbirds would drive.
Definitely. Yeah. This is their Sunday car.
Exactly. Which supposedly... we're getting way off track of Idiot Slander.
Welcome to our show.
Yeah, but supposedly, and now granted, this was like a DVD extra when Pertwee was on, what was that kid's, Blue Peter?
Blue Peter, okay.
Where he actually showed up in that. And
oh, wow.
According to him, he said that he actually had to put some of his own money into it but then it ended up being his. Like, the way John Pertwee was talking about it, that, you know, there was actually his car that, you know.
Oh, nice.
He arrived, you know, and set in that he was really, you know, very into futuristic stuff and cars. Mm-hmm. That he actually put his own money into the building of it.
That's cool.
Which meant that after they were done with it, that he got to keep it. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I wonder if that's James Bond influence on him. Like, you know, he just wanted the cool car.
Or, you know, it could have just been him, you know, talking out his ass, you know.
It's a kid's show. Who's
exactly.
going to pay attention?
Yeah.
This is TV. It's the 70s or 80s. No, nobody's going to look back at this. I mean,
yeah,
20
nobody will know. But I would say that I did not buy David Tennant on the Vespa.
No.
Yeah, not a big.
Now, how did you feel about him in the rockabilly kind of getup?
Because
I personally liked it. I thought he kind of suited him, except the hair.
Yeah, the hair was. And it looked like it was getting bigger as the episode as the episode got on. The hair got bigger.
Well, just as the wire was feeding on the faces, he was feeding from the collective energy of the 1950s.
Yes.
And his hair was growing as it fed.
Yeah, that I will buy. Yeah.
And see, my problem though with the scooter was the hair, because because kids watch Doctor Who, you got to be safe, mm-hmm. wear your helmet. So they had very modern helmet, but it wouldn't match the hair.
Yeah, there was no helmet head after he
He's a Time Lord, man. I mean, you don't get a helmet head if you're a Time Lord.
It's a very, you know, rarely mentioned trait of Gallifreyans that they don't get hat hair or helmet hair.
Or bed hair.
Mm-hmm. Or bed hair.
Also, he used an awful lot of Aquanet.
Which
That's what I heard.
1953, that would have been the go-to.
Yeah.
No gel.
He had like Jack Lord 1950s pompadour hair. It wasn't moving for nothing.
other than that, I thought the whole suit thing, I thought it kind of suited him. You know?
Rose's dress, I mean, she, you know, she worked that. I know you hate Rose, but I thought she looked kind of adorable in her little 1950s getup.
Okay. Sure.
All I could see on Rose is her teeth.
Yes!
And we have another Rose hater. Wow.
Not necessarily a Rose. You know what? Honestly, this was the first time that I'd actually seen a Rose episode in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Other than like the newer ones when she was back or whatever.
Yeah, and then, I mean, she really, yeah. She was okay in it, although she did still have a lot of, she had a horse mouth.
Yeah, I know the scene where they see her, you know, on the screen where they stole her face and she's looking at him and saying, "Doctor!"
Everyone else is yelling, "Help me."
Yeah.
And she's specifically yelling, "Doctor."
Yeah.
And everybody thought they had 3D glasses on because her teeth were just coming right out of the screen.
So if that had been color and 3D, the deputy inspector would
just mind blown. He would have lost it.
3D television in color. Because you can't have 3D in black and white.
Well, I guess you could. Just why?
Well, you'll have a black lens and a clear lens? Or, I mean, how?
I don't know. They used to do it back in the day with the stereograms. Like, they would just have two pictures next to each other.
Okay.
And then you look through, like, some goggles or whatever, and it kind of is like the magic eye thing, and it would kind of mash them together for you.
And give you 3D?
Yeah.
I don't think no one is going to that much trouble to see Rose's teeth. So, and I love Rose.
I go through
Rose,
that much trouble to not see her teeth.
Okay.
Basically. Yeah.
So the face of screens, though, was that necessary? Here's the thing. I got the vibe, and I don't know if you watch The Walking Dead.
Yes, I do.
The governor with his aquarium.
Yeah, aquarium of heads, yes.
And I was kind of thinking that. Maybe old man Magpie would just sit there and look at all the faces at night after a long day of selling TVs. And they're all saying, "Help me." And
he was a lonely, lonely man.
Yeah.
Didn't have a lot of friends.
The faces are my friends. They talk to me at night.
He might have gotten off of it.
He has to keep it on mute.
He's kind of a creeper.
So who did the wire actually eat? Like, so she sucked off their faces and put them in the TV set.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that energy, their brainwave energy, is what sustained her
while they were in the TV. But
yeah, and then
it looked like everybody got back to their bodies, and
yeah,
that was the thing that got. There was no real good explanation. I mean, the doctor and abused kid make some kind of device,
mm-hmm.
which apparently is a 1953 VCR Betamax,
right? Mm-hmm.
And somehow, just by grounding out the wire with his rubber-soled shoes.
That's all he needed to do.
That's all. Just take it to ground. Beep.
And he always wears Chuck Taylors, and I honestly didn't realize that you could, you know, be grounded out from Chuck Taylors.
I think it's like electrical safety. You've got the...
I do. But again, I wouldn't risk it.
Well, no, Jenny's other computer, her laptop, has developed some electronical type problems,
right.
And sparks come out of it. So we're going to have you touch the wire. After the show, we'll get all the recording done, and we're going to test out, and then we'll let the listeners know next week
how it turned out.
If you made it.
If Chuck Taylors can really ground you from...
I think there's like a spare piece of metal lodged in the back, so if you could just use some tweezers and
just grab it out.
Yeah.
You're good. And so I think I might be starting next week's episode with the producers of Playing Doctor Podcast. I'd like to warn everyone. As part of our lawsuit settlement, we have to...
It's going to be a disclaimer now on all your podcasts.
Sponsored by OSHA.
Yeah, I mean, between your lawsuit against us and then our homeowner's insurance, and then, of course, Chuck Taylor themselves coming in on it.
Yeah, this is not going to
end well. So I'm going to go ahead and just make the blanket statement now. Do not try to ground out. Okay, yeah. I was the risk versus gain on that. I was a little...
And this is the doctor. Even if he had gotten electrocuted a little bit...
What's Time the Lords big deal? Can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he drinks radiation for breakfast. You know, he just puts a little in his coffee.
No, but he does put it in his cereal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chernobyl Flakes. He's trying to cut back on the caffeine.
Yeah.
I got to try that.
Yeah, Chernobyl Flakes are actually really good. It's fresh fallout. Mmm. You cook it kind of like an oatmeal.
Yeah.
You make, thicken it up, put a little sugar on top, maybe some butter.
Now, do you microwave it or is it stovetop?
It's stovetop.
Okay.
Yep. I think there's enough radiation in it without adding microwaves.
It would just cancel each other
right.
out.
Right. It could reverse.
Yeah, that would just be silly.
Yeah. Although if you get, the special blend, it will cook itself. It comes with its own microwaves.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of like the old Nintendo cereal that had the two packets and then you mix them together. So like once you mix them together, it makes its own radiation.
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Okay. We'll go with that.
Okay. Great.
Yep. The control rod's right in there. Bam.
Mm-hmm. I just wondered if anybody else remembered the Nintendo cereal.
Nope.
Wow. Yeah, that was great. There's like two different flavors of cereal in the same box.
I'm lazy, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to my food. So right. the fact that I would have to pour two different boxes,
I do not
cereal.
I want as little assembly in my food as possible.
Exactly.
When I go to Mexican restaurants and they bring me a plate of meat and rice and beans and some
The fajitas, yeah.
It's like, no, assemble this. I'm paying
you to make my food. Do it.
That's why, like, people who eat like crab legs and lobster tail. I mean, that just looks like work.
Yeah.
I paid you to go catch this so I can eat it.
But
exactly.
It is a good excuse to like smash something with a hammer at table.
Oh, so I would do that anyway.
Right.
I have kids. I mean, it's like, that's what they're there for. Billy!
Just beat that out of them.
Yeah.
Just like that asshole dad on the show.
What is this guy's problem?
Yeah, he was kind of like Harry Potter's like uncle.
That's it, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe this is the stereotypical 1950s British dad. He fought in the war. He saw some shit.
Right.
While he was working supply in Liverpool.
And I guess they don't have adequate health care to deal with
dental,
this post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, no, that was just, what was it back then? It was just shell shock.
Yeah,
he's just shell shocked.
Right.
So he'll get over it.
Yeah, but the kid was, I can't even remember what it was that he was saying, something about going to visit grandma upstairs and, the old Aunt Marge or whatever is like, oh, he's being kind of defiant. You need to beat that out of him.
Yeah, he's a mama's boy. Yeah, beat that mama's boy out of him. Don't want him to grow up to be a fairy. It's like, Jesus, Aunt Marge, holy smokes.
And then poor grandma, she got her face sucked off and they don't call a doctor or anything like that. Just,
nope.
Yeah.
Well, no, now that...
Just lock her away.
With growing up in the South, I think that's something we have in common with the British of the 1950s. If you have that embarrassing relative, who's
just
damaged,
handle your own problems.
You just put that relative in the basement or up in the attic.
Mm-hmm. Just lock him away.
Away from, you don't want to embarrass the family, have that coming out all the time. Yeah, but asshole dad, it was nice to see Rose, kind of snipping at him. But what was really impressive was when he starts with his I am talking and the doctor is right in his face with, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not listening.
Yeah. I mean, just finally somebody stands up to him and the look on his face, I will give credit to the actor.
Yeah.
He very much pulled off being an asshole dad who had never been stood up to before. And having the doctor stand up to him gave him that nice little shock of, whoa, hang on.
And that wasn't the last time because his wife kicks him to the curb later on.
Which was, 1950s.
Walks, crying. Mm-hmm.
Divorce wasn't super great, but.
Right. I would think it would actually be pretty difficult at the time because there was no, the whole no-fault divorce thing. That didn't even exist.
Maybe
at the
they
time.
Don't even do a divorce. Maybe it's just, I don't
Get
care where you
out.
Go.
Yeah.
Just leave. go hang out with your war buddies and.
Right.
Well, then you had the kid standing up to him, talking about fascism and stuff like that.
I was half expecting the kid to get smacked.
Yeah. It was the message of the day.
Right. Like, why do you put these swastika-shaped antennas all over the houses?
That was a little creepy. That was the first thing I thought when, and you nailed it when you mentioned that while we were watching. The antennas were a little swastika-like. It was, like a broken swastika. And I'm thinking, didn't anybody in England, when they were putting these up, go, you know, we just had that war a couple of years ago, and
Now, I didn't know if that was like Magpie's thing or if that was Magpie the style at the time.
Magpie may have been a collaborator during the war.
That could be.
And since he's into electronics.
A collaborator, always a collaborator.
Right. Yeah. Now, that's why The Wire targeted him.
Because she knew he was a Nazi.
Yep.
Okay.
She was after some Nazi scalps. Yep.
It could be.
So, yeah, so the doctor captures The Wire on a Betamax tape.
I knew there was some good for that. I mean, you know, that's why I kept that box full of them over there.
Oh, okay.
Do
you have The Wire on one of those tapes?
No, but I do have what the doctor had, and that's a label with stuff, because he's written in Gallifreyan on the label, but then he's scratched out where he's recorded over stuff.
Okay.
And I thought that was a brilliant little touch because how many times, I mean, back in the day of VCRs, we would always have that tape where you've recorded something, you've got like, you know, last episode of MASH.
Right.
You recorded that. Now, you know,
Super Bowl
14.
Here comes the Survivor finale.
Oh, got to And you just, you mark, you know, a couple lines through the original one, and now you've written the new title. Mm-hmm. So this, he had his
and
little.
You thought you were going to save the last episode of MASH, so you popped in or punched in the little tab. Then you have to go find tape to put over.
Well, see, I found that you could like take a piece of paper and fold up and just kind of wedge in there. I've done that before.
You can do that too until the paper falls out and gets jammed in your VCR, and
that's
just
not
screwed.
Good. See, I knew about this though from my years of listening to audio cassettes, which had the same punch tab technology.
Punch tab,
So.
So he could have just saved her on a mixtape, too. Why
not? Very well. No, she's video.
He didn't have to tape over the porn.
Yeah, the Gallifreyan porn.
Yeah.
Two hearts, one cup.
He had a webcam in Ramona's shower.
Oh, he totally did.
The regeneration episode was awesome.
Change again.
I like it blonde this week. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so then now he has to pass on the tape to somebody else, because if he doesn't, then The Wire will come out of the TV and kill you within 7 days. You get that weird creepy phone call.
No, that
comes out of the screen.
That was The Ring.
Oh!
No.
But it is a little like porn. You can't throw away porn. You just have to...
You have to tape over it 20 times.
Yeah, that or just give it to somebody else.
Pass it on.
Yeah, you pass it on.
Yeah. That box of porn where you just pass it around.
I didn't hang out with the right friends, apparently.
and you have the designated friend so that if anything happens to you,
they come to your house before your mom or your living relatives get there.
We were talking about this recently where we think we need people like this. You know, nowadays you go in and log into your clear out your browser history after somebody dies.
That's the next iteration of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
No, I have this actually in my living will. I have two designated people who will come in. You're going to think it's like you're going to be mourning my death. You'll be
guys
tears.
With the suits come in,
and these two guys in black suits and dark glasses come in. They don't even knock. They already have a key.
Yeah,
forgot to tell you about that. But they just come in. They have a box.
You said two guys.
Two guys.
Are they good looking?
No, not now. They won't be.
We just got two more new guys.
We now have two more new guys. Yes, exactly.
Sorry, I have the webcam set up. That's good.
That's all right.
Anyway, so what'd you think about this episode?
I liked it. And not just because it was 1953. I like when Doctor Who does historical. You know, and he actually touches on something that's historical. And the backdrop of this episode is the coronation.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of adds like a level of realism that it's not just, you know, on a space station.
Yeah, we're on Zygon 74 and, you know, oh no, the frills have started a revolution. No, this is North London.
Real shit here.
Yeah.
Real shit.
And it's really weird for me, though, that Queen Elizabeth is still around.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. To see her young... And we're watching the end of the episode, and there's little Prince Chuck, you know, waving at the crowd, too, with his big ears and his little cow lick.
What happened to him?
You thought he was adorable, didn't
you? He was. The little cheeks and everything, and he's like, oh, hi, guys.
And now he's some creepy old guy that wants to be a tampon. I mean, what the hell? You just want to look at the television. What happened to you, Chucky?
I had completely forgotten about that. Thank you very much.
No, that was a mental image that has damaged me. So, and now seeing him as a child, it's like, what happened to you, Chuck? Jesus.
Palace life is tough, man.
I didn't choose the palace life. It chose me. Brought to you by Tampax.
Oh, my God. We have so many non-sponsors for this show.
Yeah, I can retire from all the non-sponsors.
People who will never sponsor this show, yeah. Ever. Yeah. All right, so I was kind of torn on this episode, honestly. Like, I liked it in general. I found it fun to watch, but there was a lot of just kind of dumb things. Like, I didn't understand why they took the faces. It didn't mm-hmm. really make sense. So it's, in Dork Trek terms, it's an episode. It's an episode.
So I think
enjoyable
it's more
to watch.
Than an episode. I take it up a notch above an episode.
Okay.
I would say I had the feeling that it was kind of just an episode. Watching it now, like I said, all I could think about was Rose's teeth. Like, as I've gotten older, I've grown to dislike Rose more and more. When I was watching her when she was initially on, mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with her. But I guess then seeing other companions...
raise the bar a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. So, but... And like I said, I actually had a hard time when you guys told me that this was going to be the episode. I had to think for a second, like...
Which one?
Yeah, which one? For some reason, I couldn't remember it. What was before? What was the episode?
Rise of the Cybermen and Age of Steel.
Okay, so you had the Cybermen, and then what was the one that... Then what comes after?
After this is The Impossible Planet and Satan Pit.
Yeah, which okay. is a very good episode.
Yeah, so I think that's what it was. It was kind of...
They
the
sandwiched
between,
this right
in between two really, really good two-parters. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, for some reason, it just didn't register.
I mean, I remembered it. I remembered it as being something that I liked watching, but it doesn't really, you know, it's not part of the overall storyline of Doctor Who. You know, I don't even think they mentioned Torchwood in the episode.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah.
And
so
that's kind
of
the
arc.
Yeah. Right. And so this is just it's kind of a filler, but it's a pretty decent filler for me. It's not like Love and Monsters that's coming up in a few. So
yeah, I like Love and Monsters.
You are my hero, and see, now I want to have him back on the show.
Yeah, I like I'm a big ELO fan, and
I like ELO, but I think they kind of ruined it for me, actually.
I mean the monster at the end, the Absorbaloff or whatever, is dumb.
Yes.
But I like the whole concept of the Doctor touching these other people's lives and mm-hmm. he not even realizing it. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, what was that Next Generation episode, like Below Decks or
Below
whatever.
Decks, great episode.
Yeah. For some reason, that's what Love of Monsters is to me. You get like an outsider's view of the Doctor.
Okay.
Huh.
I guess I'm alone in this.
I'm going to start keeping a tally of all the guests who like Love and Monsters. That's going to be the deciding thing for mm-hmm. me on who to bring back for the anniversary episodes. And I'm just going to stack the deck.
Okay. That's fine. It's your show, too.
All right.
That's fine. Just pick on me. It's great.
But so, Idiot's Lantern, I guess the consensus, though, it's not the greatest Doctor Who episode ever.
No, it's not the worst, but it's just one of those things. Yeah, it's just there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, I thought it was a fun episode, though, was my thing. I mean, it was...
It was, yeah, you had, you know, riding around on the Vespa, you know, the Keystone Cops almost, where, like, they pull the right. The wall blocking off the street.
And then there's the guy sweeping.
Yeah, and the apple cart.
Well, see, my thing was, you know, I get it that it fooled the Doctor once.
Uh-huh.
Got that. But then the second time it happens, it's like at 11:30 at night or something, and that same guy's out there sweeping. And thankfully,
I think he caught on then.
That's
though.
When he
yeah,
caught on.
It did take him, but it seemed to take him a little bit longer.
I think
than it should have.
All television shows would benefit if the main characters watched television.
Yeah,
and so they're like, "Oh, see, he disappeared down the alley, and there's the fruit cart.
Hold on,
I saw Indiana Jones on TNT last week. Hold on, I know what happened here."
Now, and did they even bother asking the fruit cart guy, like, hey, did you see a black sedan come flying down?
Oh, no. That,
I'm just a simple fruit cart man. I ain't seen nothing.
So if we asked him, then we would have to pay those actors. Yes.
Exactly.
And we don't want to pay actors.
Yeah.
You know, we get Ian McClellan as fruit cart man. Just for his brief cameo, because he always wanted to be on Doctor Who, and that's his one scene.
Yeah, that's okay. It. Exactly.
Sir Patrick Stewart is the sweeper. Because, you know, they've always wanted to work together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole X-Men thing, I think that's going to kind of fizzle out. So,
let's bring in the star power, because we only have 17 British actors anyway.
Exactly.
We need to recycle them.
All right. All right, anyway, so good show. And before we leave, I want to say thanks to our good friend, Daryl Lewis.
Oh.
Daryl Lewis for the show. We'll get...
I want Look, to spend I'm following the script,
Well, see,
asshole.
I'm going to go... I'm shaking it up because I want to spend more time getting details
rogue.
On the Kickstarter. I'm putting lipstick on the pig. I'm going rogue.
Okay.
No. Mm. Anybody get the reference? Please.
I get it. I just didn't think it was that funny.
Okay. But Daryl Lewis, thank you for making our theme song that we enjoy each week. I actually
Super
have this.
Fantastic.
I have this on my iPod and listen to it.
It is an
sometimes
awesome theme
in the song. Car. But I'm weird like that. And you can check out Daryl over at flyingmonkeymotogear.com.
Yes.
So I didn't do the www. Oh, I'm finally learning that it's no longer 1995. I don't have to www every
time.
Well,
the bad thing is that you got me doing it last time.
I know.
And you got me to mess up, like, every time somebody has to mess something up on that. So, yeah, thank you.
Now, see, I wanted to get that out of the way because now I want to talk to Sean.
Okay.
We're going to put a link, give us a link to the Kickstarter, and we'll put that in our show notes.
Okay.
So we'll be sure to do that because I am really looking forward to this. I've seen the pushers, you know, once we were talking about last summer at the Comedy Fest. here in Norfolk. And are you guys, do you have anything coming up or?
We don't have any shows coming up. I mean, we have, our theater hopefully will open in June, but we're bringing back the Norfolk Comedy Festival in July. So it'll be the third annual Norfolk Comedy Festival that we're excited about.
Now you guys are doing Tidewater Comic Con too, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, we will be at Tidewater. We have no idea what we're going to be doing at Tidewater Comic Con. I talked to Mike Federale, who's putting it together. I think we're going to be there at noon performing, but I don't know if we're doing sketch or we're doing improv.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just going to... I guess it's going to depend on like how much space we have and stuff like that. But yeah, we will definitely be there for that. We're actually really looking forward.
Us too, yeah. And that's April 12th,
yep.
I believe.
Okay. Free admission.
Free admission.
Yeah, free admission, yes.
So if you're anywhere close to the Hampton Roads area, come
or
down
the
to Virginia
Tidewater
Beach,
area.
Or the Tidewater area.
Or the coastal Virginia area.
Coastal Virginia.
Cover all our bases.
Right.
Oh, yes. Or if you're in Virginia Beach, Norfolk area.
Yes.
The seven cities.
Yes.
Any of the above. Come out to Virginia Beach, the Crown Plaza on Bonnie Road, and check out Tidewater Comic Con. We'll have a table there, too.
Yes, we will. You can see our giant Playing Doctor podcast banner.
Yeah.
You guys
banner.
Have a banner?
We do.
Yeah.
it's the banner. Nice pull-up kind.
Retractable.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
You're styling.
Fancy.
Styling.
We don't even have that.
See, that could be the problem.
Yeah,
you guys could already have two theaters if you had the retractable banner.
If we
there
only
you go.
Had a banner, I'll get right on that.
Yes.
We can give you a link.
We're the dumbest group on the history of the planet. I mean, it's the fact that we're even attempting to open a theater is just ridiculous.
Very courageous.
My partner, Brad, I'm the smart one, and I mean, that's not saying much. You know, up until a week ago, he still had a flip phone. We got interviewed by the Virginia Pilot about it. And, the photographer and the reporter started making fun of the fact that he still had a flip phone.
Yeah, but you can do the Star Trek thing and you have a flip phone.
Although he never did that. I mean, he's a weird guy. He's not that big of a Star Trek fan, although Wrath of Khan is his favorite movie of all time.
Well, that is the best Star Trek movie of all time, so that works.
If you're going to be a Star Trek fan, be a fan of that movie.
Right.
Yeah.
He likes that one, and he likes Undiscovered Country, but I think those are the only two that he's actually seen.
Now, ironically, though, those two were directed by the same guy.
Yeah, who was
it? Nick Meyer.
Right.
Nicholas Meyer.
And they're your favorite.
And those are my two. If I put them in order, it would be two and then six, and then we'd work down the list.
Something else, yeah.
not J.J. Abrams. Space Movie 2009.
Well, you would even categorize them as Star Trek, so.
Nope.
That's a whole different podcast.
It's an advertisement for lens flares.
Right.
Well, we thought it was a demo reel to try to get on the whole Star Wars thing. He needed to do a nice demo for Disney to show that he could, you know, do an action Star Wars type adventure movie.
And sell some Apple products, too.
And sell some Apple, because it was the Apple store in space. But anyway, we're going way off. We're going to put a link to your Kickstarter.
Yes. I would give you the link right now, except that it's like kickstarter.com/profile/. But if you go, our website is pushertscomedy.com, and all the information is there as well.
And you guys are on Facebook and Twitter.
Facebook just approved us. Going from the Pushers to now Push Comedy Theater. So if you do Push Comedy Theater,
nice.
We will pop up, and Twitter is the Pushers is our tour handle.
Cool.
Although I don't use Twitter that much.
No.
Because I'm dumb. You know, one of the biggest social medias on the planet, and we're not using it as we should.
We don't use ours very much
as
either.
As much as we should. I mean,
I'll just quit my job and I'll just sit on Twitter and Facebook all day.
Well, 4 years ago when I was working at home, that's what I did. I stayed on Twitter, and that
that's
was
why
the,
we know each other.
Yes, we met each other through a local meetup comic group, and then continued our talking via Twitter. So Twitter has benefits. You should check it out.
I will. And again, what sucks is my partner Brad. He doesn't have an actual job. He does comedy full time, you know, between teaching,
right?
And we have we wrote with another guy. We wrote a parody of 50 Shades of Grey, a musical parody of 50 Shades
That's
of
right.
Grey.
Nice.
That has been playing up in New York for the past year. So between the royalties of that and teaching, and you know, the money we make through shows, he doesn't work, but he's had a flip phone for the past 6 years, so he couldn't use Twitter.
So you got to get him the smartphone and teach him how to use Twitter.
Yeah, he just got the iPhone.
See, maybe that's why he didn't have to work. He didn't have the smartphone because those things are like $800 or something.
Well, it's
true.
And
so he was. You've destroyed this man's life now.
The very next day, he got a call from Verizon saying that he had already gone through his entire data plan.
Oh my God!
He found a porn site and.
You only do that over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, he just went down that rabbit hole. And
he's into that kind of porn? Ooh,
yeah,
I don't
24
know.
Hours later, he'd gone through his, blown through his data plan.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, this is the guy I've decided to go into business with. So
yes.
Not sure what it says about me.
So please go to Kickstarter and donate $25-$30 and you get some cool incentives.
Yeah, we do have some really cool incentives. Like I think for like $30 or something like that. You know, I'll take you out to coffee and we can talk Doctor Who the entire time.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, I might donate. Except I just got it for free, so do I owe you coffee?
You do. Or $30.
Or
one
30
of the two. But yeah, we have a lot of fun stuff on our fun incentives on our Kickstarter plan.
Cool.
So we'll be sure to link to everything on that and, I guess, to both sites.
Yeah.
Via our show notes this week.
The interwebs, yes.
The interwebs. And speaking of the interwebs, you can catch our show every time it's updated and the blogs associated with it at playingdoctorpodcast.com.
We're on Facebook/playingdoctor.
We're on the Twitters @playingdoctors.
We're also on Google+, gplus.to/playingdoctor. You could just search them.
Search it.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes and Stitcher, which I'm not even going to try those links because you can go to the website and click the
link
or search for Playing Doctor Podcast.
Yeah, and be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment.
And I will say, though, be careful if you decide to Google search for Playing Doctor because apparently there's some not so nice things.
So turn on the safe search settings.
I don't know if we'll show up on safe search because we do the explicit tab for iTunes.
Oh,
because somebody has a potty mouth.
Somebody likes to in honor of the upcoming doctor with Peter Capaldi coming to the reins. Fuckety bye has entered our vocabulary.
Yeah,
among other things.
Cunt.
But yes, give us a call at 434-993-TIME.
That's 434-993-8463.
Yep, you can leave us a message and we might play it on the show.
Yeah.
And so now that the TARDIS is almost here, you can catch me on Twitter at RealityAmuck.
You can find me on Twitter at Jenny_Z and also on Mouthy Broadcast Podcast.
And
be sure on Tuesdays.
Okay. Always with the plug. Let's go. Bye.
Bye.
A favorite year.